God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 19th day of December, 2007, and you are listening to our Wednesday evening broadcast. The sermon tonight from our youth pastor, Brother Lynn Schuyler. What if he didn't come? The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thank you again for listening.
Matthew chapter 1. I appreciate you coming tonight. Good sized group for a Wednesday night church service. I appreciate you coming. I'd like you to put your finger in Matthew 1. And I need the light up here. I'm not quite sure how you turn these things on. I think I found them. All right, I can preach. Good. Matthew 1:23. Put your finger there. Then turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. How many of you are ready for Christmas? Let me say it this way. How many have got your decorations up? Raise your hand, please. Let's just go ahead and have participation here. How many have got your presents already? All right. Those are two things that we many times think about when we think about Christmas and being ready. But are you like me? Do you ever get nervous and you think, you know, Lord, I so much want this year for my attention to be upon the main thing. I want my attention to be upon Christ. Now, we have decorations, and hopefully we have them up because they represent Jesus Christ. And we also do gifts because it represents the gift. You know what I'm talking about? That's why we do Christmas. We're not like the world. We're not caught up in all the frills and thrills and Santa Clauses and Frosty the Snowmans. We're caught up in Christ. But are you like me? Sometimes you struggle in that. Sometimes you get caught up and you're focused more on the cookies and the eggnog than you are upon the manger and what filled it that night. And so I don't know about you, I need it. I need as much as I can get so as to get in the proper spirit for the true Christmas. I don't know about you, that is the way it is with me. And in that, I thought about tonight's message, and I know that we'll be having a special Christmas service this coming Sunday. But I felt led to give you this message tonight, and I hope it's not academic. I will strive to try to keep it away from being academic. It may be a little bit of a different style of message than I normally preach, but I hope that we can walk away tonight prepared. That's the goal, that we are prepared to truly worship Christ during this Christmas. Having said that, look with me at John chapter 1. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Verse 14. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Matthew 1:23. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us." Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for allowing us to be able to gather, Lord, tonight and be underneath the preaching and teaching of your word. Father, I would just pray tonight that you could use me, dear Father, that I could be your mouthpiece, that you would control my thoughts, that you would control my spirit, that you would control my words, Father, that tonight's message might be meaningful, that it actually might prepare our hearts, that, Father, that this Christmas can truly be worshipped and adored for what it is, the birth of Christ, and that we could truly appreciate all that you've done, Father, to make our salvation possible. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever considered how certain events have dramatically impacted the world that we live in? Just this past week, I've been reading this book. It's called What If? It's a compilation of a lot of essays that historians have written in regards to this thought. What if? In other words, what if certain things wouldn't have transpired? Or the opposite, what if they did transpire? And what would have been the impact upon our society? In other words, the hypothetical idea of what would it have done to our history? As you can imagine, for you that are history buffs, it's a fascinating read. It definitely makes you breathe a sigh of relief when you find out, oh, I'm so glad that this happened. It also makes you shudder in the reality of what things could have transpired. It's a fascinating read. In that, this book is primarily a book on world history. But I want to say that whenever they dealt with American history, it caught my attention. We as Americans, we've got a whole lot of what ifs. We had a whole lot of what ifs that have transpired through our history, and we ought to be thankful that a lot of the conclusions came out the way that they did. I'm here to tell you. I don't have time to talk about all the different things, but just a real quick preview. For instance, in the area of the American Revolution, these historians, all of them agreed that the Patriots, they won by a hair width. I mean, it was awfully close. Matter of fact, many believe that it could have gone and should have gone the other way. None of us would disagree with that. We realize that British at the time was the great, literally, world power, and somehow we were able to win. There were a lot of what-ifs that transpired in that American Revolution. For instance, what if that British marksman who had George Washington in his sights, his gun ready, what if he had pulled the trigger? What if? He didn't have in his hand the old-time musket. The old-time musket was very inaccurate. No, he had his own invention, a breech-loaded gun that actually was very accurate and could actually spit out 6 bullets a minute. Now, I realize it doesn't sound like an AK-47, but for its time, that was a fast gun, a very accurate gun. What if he would have known that that was George Washington? What if he would have known that that was the commander-in-chief of the Continental Army? What if? What if when the British literally had a perfect landing on Manhattan Island and they would not have waited for reinforcements and therefore giving George Washington and his Continental Army an opportunity to slip the noose and fight another day? What if? A lot of stories were on this, but I'll just abbreviate it into basically a sentence. What if the British and the higher-ranking officers didn't allow for a plague of pride and grudges and one-upsmanship to run through the ranks? What if? What if they would have fought like gentlemen? What if they would have actually done what was best for Britain rather than what was best for themselves? What if? Now, you can go through the revolution or the American Revolution, and you can see a whole lot of what ifs. Matter of fact, this book says there were many events. Had just one of the events gone a different way, there might have been a different outcome. Wow. What if? In regards to our Civil War, again, a lot was said in this book, but I'll just go ahead and highlight one. What if Robert E. Lee, in his plans to attack the North, and therefore force a truce, therefore dividing our nation forever. What if those great strategic plans, what if they wouldn't have been lost by one of his captains? And what if the North didn't find those plans? I'm here to tell you, his plans were genius. What if they weren't lost? And what if they weren't found? I'm here to tell you, we as Americans, we have a lot of what-ifs. How about World War I and World War II? I'll just put it in a nutshell once again. What if certain battles weren't won? What if certain individuals weren't in leadership? What if certain countries weren't involved? I'm here to tell you, what if? Let me answer that one. We would probably tonight be in an underground service somewhere speaking German. I'm here to tell you, we as Americans, we have a whole lot of what-ifs. Question. Would you agree with me that there are a lot of people in America today who are not appreciative of what our nation represents. What our nation has gone through. You know what their problem is? They've never considered the what ifs. They never have considered the alternative. I'm here to tell you tonight that I realize that we're not supposed to live in what ifs. But I believe that sometimes looking at what ifs is not only helpful, but it's necessary. I strive not to be a what if type of guy, but this book got me to thinking, and you're smart, you know exactly where I'm going with this. What if he hadn't come? Think with me just for a second. What if he hadn't come? What if the infinite didn't become the infant? You do realize that our hope would have been lost, not his. You realize that, right? We just read in John, and it declares that that Jesus, the creator of all, look at this, he already existed. As a matter of fact, we find that he always existed. Get this. His life was not banked, was not counting on the incarnation. Ours was. What if the infinite didn't become the infant? My friends, Jesus Christ was co-equal with God, co-eternal with the Heavenly Father, and yet he humbled himself. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and look at verse 6. The Bible says in Philippians 2 verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What if the infinite didn't become the infant? I mean, here, our very universe could not contain him, and yet he allowed himself to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. One has said, everyone knew or thought they knew that the Messiah would be the ultimate military commander. He would arrive on horseback with sword held high, crying out for vengeance and redemption in the name of the Lord and his favored nation. The chosen one would have the wisdom of Solomon, the charisma of David, the godliness of Moses, and the military genius of Joshua. Yet he did come. But my friends, he did not come as some great commander or some great leader, but a little baby boy wrapped in swaddling clothes. The question I pose to you tonight is why? Why did he allow himself to come in such form? My friends, tonight it's because he wanted to be our bridge. Jesus Christ was fully God and he was fully human. His godliness could not take away his humanity, and his humanity could not take away his godliness. He was the perfect bridge. He would bring God to the earth and man to heaven. He was the perfect bridge. Matter of fact, in John, go back to John chapter 1, verse 14. Look with me. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came to dwell among us so that we could actually catch a hold of His glory, all that He came for. And my friends, He came to actually bring God to man and man to God. His human existence was from a human or a virgin birth. In other words, it was not of the male's seed. And thus he is totally pure and clean. He is not the world's product, but heaven's. Therefore, declaring his deity. Yet his infancy is a clear sign of his total humanity. My friends, he was very much exactly what you and I are today. He was fully human, without the exception or with the exception of sin. Why is that important? My friends, he took the full human journey. The full human journey. Why is this important? To declare his glory. To declare all that he was. how was it going to be for you and I to be able to follow his footsteps if he didn't leave any behind? And how would we have been confident that he actually withstood all temptation in all points, yet without sin, if we didn't see him go through his childhood, if we didn't know that he went through his teenagehood, and if we didn't see him grasp hold of his adulthood? My friends, he went through the entire human journey. Why is that important? Well, one person wrote this: to make the full sacrifice on our behalf, Jesus had to make the full commitment. It would have meant very little to us if he had sprung from heaven fully formed, bathed in heavenly glory, saying, "Here are my hands and my feet. Place me upon the cross, for I am willing to die." No, my friends, he wasn't just our sacrifice. He was also our example. My friends, today I want you to understand today that Jesus was fully God, and yet he was fully human. We know that he grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. We see him as a baby in the manger. We see him as a boy in the temple. We see him as a man in the wilderness. Therefore, when we see him with the spikes in his hands and his feet and the crown of thorns on his head, we know that the pain is real. The sacrifice was real. We know with every whip and every spike that brings forth his precious blood, the sacrifice is real. The agony was real. The mockery from the crowd, it was cruel, and it was felt. The torture of having his heavenly Father have to turn his back on his own Son and to place upon him all of humanity's sins was real. Somehow I think that we sometimes disconnect ourselves from the reality and the glory of all that Jesus Christ was. My friends, tonight, Jesus was 100% God, and yet he was 100% human. All that he bore, he felt. All that he paid for, there was agony for you and for me. Don't disassociate yourself. Well, he was God. He was able to bear it. He fully humbled himself in all regard. He was just like us. The only exception was there was no sin. This was the Jesus Christ who came for you and me. One has also said, if he had been God only, his sacrifice would have been cheap and unconvincing. If he had been man only, his sacrifice would have had no power. He would have been a martyr like 10,000 others. But my friends, tonight I want to say, he was fully God and he was fully man. He came as a baby so that he could conquer from the very beginning to the very end. He could conquer every challenge and he could defeat every temptation. But he came also as a God to provide himself a lamb, the sacrifice, the need for all of mankind. He brought forth total victory over sin and the grave. And therefore the words, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. My friends, tonight, those are truly significant words. Our world today would not be the same if those words weren't spoken. God with us. But because those words are true, and because those words are spoken, God with us, these words can also be spoken, God in us. God in us. Because Jesus Christ came to this world and he died, and he took upon our sins, died and buried and rose again, my friends, today he can offer you and I spiritual life. For he will come into us and give us that life. 1 John 5, verse 11 and 12 says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life.
Revelation 22, verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." My friends, tonight, because the fact of the matter is this, God with us, and that is a fact, that is a clarity, that is a reality. Because we can say God with us, we can say God in us tonight. Anybody who wants the Lord Jesus Christ, my friends, all they've got to do is come. All they've got to do is drink. I'm reminded of a story of two sailors where their boat sunk, and the only thing that was keeping them afloat was some of the wreckage. And so they held on and just hoped somehow that the SOS went out and people would be coming. Well, later on, days later, as their hope is drawing short and they're not only dying of the elements of the sun, but they're also dying of the fact that they do not have any water. And so, as you can imagine, it's a torturous situation to have all of this water around you and yet none to drink. Because the worst thing of having no water is having salt water. It'll drive you nuts. It'll kill you quick. And so there's no drinking of the salt water. Well, sure enough, a couple days transpired more, and they thought, well, you know what? We don't really have much hope. If the sharks don't get us, if the sun doesn't get us, we're going to die of thirst. Well, lo and behold, on the horizon comes this boat. And just in the nick of time, and starts coming their way. Before they even get in the boat, as the boat's pulling up, they just simply cry out, "Give us fresh water. Give us fresh water." And the men looked down and said, "Well, then just dip your hand and drink." They're like, "What are you talking about?" See, one thing they didn't see was on the horizon, there was an outlet of a great river that all along was flowing fresh water in their direction. Out of their sight, they could not see the very life source that was around them. My friends, same with us. On the horizon, beyond I can see, there's a river that flows. And all we've got to do is drink. I'm so glad today that it's not based upon our color of our skin. It's not based upon how thick our wallet is. It's not based upon our age. It's based upon whosoever will drink and come. Why? God with us, God in us. You and I today, we can have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Can you remember that time when you came and you drank? Can you remember? One thing I'm trying to do, the older I get, I'm trying to look back. I want to remember all the various things that God has done in my life. I want to remember this one. Of all the things I want to remember, I don't want to forget the day that I drank, the day that I came. Remember, I was 5 years old, and I just got in hit my sister once again. My sister and I, we were ruthless with each other. One person would take a lick. It'd always be to the face. As that person's falling, the other person's running. Well, sure enough, I was with my aunt and uncle at the time. I was on vacation in Iowa, and I did my cheap shot. I hit her, and I ran to my aunt. Well, my aunt took me into a back room, and there she explained to me sin. There she explained to me God's love. There she explained to me the penalty of sin. There she explained to me the payment for sin through Jesus Christ. And that day, I drank. That day I received Christ as my Savior. I'm here to tell you today, I am so glad that because God came through Jesus Christ, I'm so glad God with us is also an invitation to God in us. Can I hear an amen tonight? But because God with us, but because God in us, we can therefore declare God for us. Turn with me to Romans chapter 28, or actually Romans 8, 28. Romans 8, 28, the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall we not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God? who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't turn there, just listen. Philippians 1:6 clearly says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Because we can say tonight, God with us, therefore we can say, God in us. Because we can say, God in us, tonight we can declare, God is for us. Let me ask you a question. Why would God invest in you all the wealth of heaven through his Son Jesus Christ and then not follow through on what he's done in you? Why would he do that? My friends, tonight, if God came and if you received his sacrifice on the cross for your sins, my friends, tonight, I've got a newsflash for you. He's for you. God is for you. I'm here to tell you tonight that God, he wants to be able to actually glorify himself. And in the end, the ultimate, he wants to glorify you. He wants to do it through his blessings and he wants to do it through his testings. He wants to do it through both of them. All of us can accept the fact that God is for us in the blessings. We like that. We like to be able to say, well, praise the Lord, God did this. Praise the Lord, God did that. And I think we ought to do that. I think we ought to slow down again. Like I said a moment ago, we ought to slow down. We ought to look back. We ought to consider all that God has done for us. Don't we have a lot to praise God for? In his being on our behalf. Praise the Lord for his goodness. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you don't get the gift that you want over under your Christmas tree, you've been hinting to your spouse all month long, and somehow the fella doesn't get it. You know what? You still have a reason to actually cock a smile from one ear to another. God has been good to you. He sent his Son Jesus Christ for you. If you received him, he is in you. And my friends, he is for you. He is blessing your life. It is your job to look back and to consider it. I thought about just a few things. Not only did I, first of all, think about my salvation, which I talked about just a moment ago. I thought about my relationships in my life. My wife and I just talked, at the couples retreat. And we were kind of going back and forth about how the Lord brought us together and how much of a blessing it was. But I remember my wife, I was talking about how, you know, she was actually dating the guy for 6 years before she met me and before she proposed to me. And the thing that she was always embarrassed about is she goes, I wish you wouldn't share that part, Lynn. I'm okay to share this now because we've got it all worked out. But I wish you wouldn't share that part, Lynn, because it makes me feel like an idiot. I'm like, well, what do you mean by that, honey? She goes, I dated a guy for 6 years. I have dumb written on my forehead. I said, no. You don't have dumb written on your forehead. You've got God's hand on your life. Because I looked at it this way. I looked at it as when I saw my wife or my future wife, I knew she was dating a guy for 6 years. And I remember just praying, God, you can do it. I hope that you do. I hope that you will. And you know what? He did. I love telling a story, and I wish I could tell it to you right now, but a lot of you already heard it, and I don't want to waste a lot of time, but I love telling it. Why? God for me. I hear I'm a single guy, and I'm thinking, man, I went through 4 years of college, didn't find a wife. I've been out of college now 3 years, haven't found a wife. Had a couple of different relationships in college, did a couple of different relationships out of college, but I never, ever felt the Lord's leading in a certain area. And then all of a sudden, in an impossible situation comes, and I say, God, if you can, I wish you would. He did. Why? God's for me. God's for me. Give God the credit for those various things that have come across your way. I heard a situation today. It was actually more of a humor situation. This guy, he's driving around and he's running late for his appointment. I mean, this is a do or die kind of situation. I've got a job or don't have a job kind of thing. If he shows up late, he's in a lot of trouble with his boss. And all of a sudden, he starts praying out to God. He says, God, would you please take care of this? I'll do this and this and this and this. If you'll just open up a parking spot for me. Literally within a millisecond, a parking spot all of a sudden opened up. And he says, forget that prayer. I've got one. You know what? I think maybe we're guilty of that too. God's for you. God is for you. When you pray and an answer is actually met, it's not a coincidence. It's called providence. Give Him the credit. Give Him the glory. God wants to bless your life. But I got to stop. I got to breathe. Because there's a lot of people today who are preaching only that part. Just the blessings, health, wealth, and prosperity. I'm not against a God who's gracious and benevolent upon His children. I want to be that to my children. I believe that God's like that to you and me. But He's not like that only. He allows testings. He allows testings. Do you realize that it's during the testings of your life that actually draw you closer to the Lord than the blessings in your life? Let's be honest. How many times have you found yourself when you've got this big, huge blessing falling in your lap that you fall on your knees? But when you get that bad report from the doctor, when you get that pink slip, when you get this and that going in your direction, all of a sudden you're on your knees. My friends, God is smart. God is gracious. He's going to bring blessings. He's going to bring testings. Why? Because it's going to reveal His glory, and His ultimate goal, one of His ultimate goals, is also to bring your glorification. The Bible says it right there in Romans 8. We just read it. Catch this. We have an easy time accepting the first one. We have a difficult time accepting the second one. Notice I said we, not you, both of us. Not just lay people, but even we as ministers, it's difficult, it's hard. I don't understand. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. God, I know how You can use good in my life. Good night, that's easy. I don't understand this. Lord, I don't understand how a loss of life, how You can use that for good. A loss of health? A loss of a relationship? Loss of a friendship? I don't understand that, Lord. Well, I'd like to give you an illustration that's helped me over the years. It's like, for instance, a shipyard. How many of you realize steel doesn't float? Steel sinks. But do you realize that all of our ocean-bearing vessels are made out of steel? Have you ever considered that? Take one of the pieces off of that ocean-bearing vessel. Take it off. Peel it off. Drop it. It's going to sink to the bottom of the ocean. Take off that rudder. And all of a sudden, drop it over the ocean. It's going to sink to the very bottom, my friends. But the shipmasters, the shipbuilders, as they take all of these pieces together and they fit them together and they put that last wrench tighten, all of a sudden it is seaworthy and, yes, almost unsinkable. Put all together with skill and with planning, my friends, it actually floats. It's impossible, and yet it's done. If mankind can make steel float, what do you think God can do with your life? It's hard. It's hard for us to truly believe that. Newsflash tonight. But God's for you. God's for you. And He can take even that difficult time this week. Maybe it's been a difficult year. That situation that constantly causes you to lose sleep at night. Tonight, some of you came in stressed out about that very situation that you can't get out of your mind. Don't miss it. God is speaking to you right now through this message. He's for you. He's for you. Why would He give you all the wealth of heaven through His Son, Jesus Christ, that huge investment, and then not take you all the way to the end? You wouldn't do that with your child. He's not going to do that with His child. My friends, tonight, God is for you. Why? Because God is in you if you've received His Son. If God is for you and God is in you, get this, God is with you. The Bible says, in closing, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Aren't you glad tonight that you and I don't have to play the what-if game this evening in regards to the greatest need of mankind? My friends, He came. He came. Praise the Lord, He came. Dear Father God, a simple message tonight. Such a simple message. But isn't that what Christmas is all about? It wasn't all the frills and thrills. It's in a manger. Not a lot of guests were invited. Just a few shepherds. World didn't turn up. Didn't turn out. Just a simple proclamation. Father, an amazing conclusion. God with us. Lord, I don't know what this has meant to the crowd that's come tonight. I know that it means much to me. If I'm the only one that's ministered to it, Lord, I thank you for it. But I'm so thankful tonight that history knows full well. This world has sensed its effect for 2,000 years. He came. He came. Because He came, God with us, God in us, God for us. Lord, I pray in the stillness of this prayer, You would use this truth tonight to settle our hearts. Some are so caught up with the family and friends coming over to their house. They're so concerned about, is there going to be enough food? Is there going to be enough space? I can't get that gift. I've been trying. My boy wants it. Lord, we're so concerned about what we're going to get. Somehow, we as Christians, as much as we want to make it about You, we get swept away. And I pray that tonight's message would slow us down and for us to consider, what if? What if? What if He didn't come? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our youth pastor, Brother Lynn Schuyler, bringing the sermon. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and visit us in the historic downtown Ponca Theater building. Give us a chance to get to know you. Until that time, have a great week. God bless you. Thank you for listening.